So today we continue looking at our text that we've decided is our text for this year. In fact, it's our whole passage. And I frame this around this idea that we are called to become, or we are becoming, the church that God imagined. And so our text from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 throws up for us, I believe, three themes, three challenges that are going to lead us into this particular year and keep chasing us. And we're going to keep chasing them as we go through the year, both as a church, as a whole family together, but also as individuals wherever we are every single day of the week on our front lines as well. And those three themes that come out of that Ephesians 4 passage are activate faith, build community, and cultivate generosity. So out of Ephesians 4 come these three themes, and these are what are going to guide us through. And I do have a song, but I'm not going to sing it this week. We'll have a rest this week. But I hope that you remember it and you've been singing it as well. To activate faith, to build community, and to cultivate generosity. We began last week, and we're going to be looking over the next few weeks as we head up towards the Lent season. We're going to look at these three themes, these three challenges, a couple of weeks with each theme. And we're going to do that through the story of Abraham. Now, a very ancient story, way away from where Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4. But I believe his story teaches us what these three things mean for us today as well. Abraham starts in the end of Genesis chapter 11, way back in the first book of the Bible. But what a story it is to dig into and to lead us through as we open up these particular themes at the beginning of this year. If you know anything of the book of Genesis, you'll know that we've had a few false starts in the story. God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1 tells us that very clearly. But then we've had Adam and Eve, who seem to make a bit of a mess of things. Then we've had the flood, so Noah. So God had to flood the earth and save Noah and his family. And then chapter 11 in Genesis, we get the Tower of Babel, where people are deciding that they're going to take control for themselves and they're going to reach up to the heavens on their own. And so the end of chapter 11 and into chapter 12, we get like a fresh beginning where God calls a person. He has his eye on a person to lead the new beginning that God was initiating at that particular time, so that he could build a people that he imagined they could be. And so Abraham comes on the scene, and for this season, maybe it's worth for you digging into the story of Abraham beginning at Genesis 12, as we're going to do through this particular season. God is looking for someone who would activate faith in him, who would start to believe and trust that this is the God that he follows, the God that he worships, to bring alive what it is that God is beginning to give him. And so he builds this firm foundation where we too can begin to live our lives every day to become the people God imagines us to be. I love people who find potential in other people, do you? Maybe you had a teacher once who saw something in you that nobody else saw. Maybe, hopefully it was a good thing. But they saw in you something really good and positive, and they began to call that out of you. You know, when I was 6 years old, I was brought up in the Salvation Army. Many of you know that. And when you get to 6 years old in the Salvation Army, you're given a brass instrument. Not just because they're generous, because you've got to start playing it, because you've got to join the band. And so when I was 6 years old, I was given a cornet to play. It's a bit smaller than a trumpet. And there was a man around in the church I was part of called Ron Field. And he committed himself to sit next to me every single week until I could play this cornet. And he did. It was like he called the potential out in me that I could play this instrument. It didn't start very well, because if you've ever had a brass instrument in your hand and you've tried to play it, it is really difficult to play. And it sounds really bad to start with. But no matter how bad it sounded to Ron, every single week he would show up and he would sit next to me and he would draw out the potential in me to begin to play this brass instrument. And there was a day when I did. I was never excellent, but thanks to Ron, I could play this brass instrument. I could probably still play it as well, even though I haven't played one for a number of years, because of Ron Field telling me, you can do it. You can become a a player of this instrument. The even better news about someone like Ron Field was that he also saw the potential in me to become a follower of Jesus. And he called that out of me week after week after week, showing me just what it looked like to be a follower of Jesus and giving me the inspiration that I too could follow Jesus as well. I love people like that. And I believe that God saw in Abraham the potential of this one man to become the father of the nations. And out of that comes people just like us, who God is still calling and who still sees something in us to become the person that he imagined we could be. Now, last week we talked about how God saw this potential in Abraham. He was just called Abraham back then. He planted the seed of faith in him, and he found good soil where this faith could begin to be active. But this faith was activated in this one person's life. That this seed of faith that God put inside this man would reach its full potential and grow good fruit and bless and build the people of all nations that would reach the whole world. And it has. God sees what could be in people just like us as well. So if you missed last week, I do urge you to catch up with that. You'll find it on YouTube, and you'll easily catch up with it. So this week I want to continue the story of this man, Abraham, and how faith continued to be active in his life, and be reminded again that God has this seed of faith to put in your life and my life as well. And maybe from Abraham's story, we too might be able to see this faith activate and grow and bear fruit in our life as well. So, we're into Genesis chapter 15. Would you read these few verses with me this morning? That would be great. Let's read. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Now, most of us don't struggle with believing in God. What we struggle with is trusting God when nothing seems to happen. We pray, we wait, we scroll, we wonder if we misunderstood God, or indeed if God misunderstood us. And faith, I think especially adult faith, stalls not because God is absent from us, but because the promise of God hasn't yet caught up with the reality of what we see happening around us. And I think that's where Abraham is in Genesis chapter 15. God has spoken to him. We found that out last week, chapter 12. God has promised to him, chapter 12. But Abraham is still old, he's still childless, and he's running out of options to see God fulfill the promise that he made to him. And yet into this space, into this void between the promise and the reality, God doesn't give Abraham a strategy to sort it all out himself. He just gives him an invitation. In our reading, verse 1, God says, Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. into this gap between the promise and the reality of what Abraham sees, God speaks this invitation. I am. I am your shield, your very great reward. Right in the middle of any uncertainty that we might have about whether we can trust God to fulfill the promise that he's made to us, God speaks these words of invitation. A reminder of who God is. A reminder of the promises he has made. Do not be afraid. I am your great reward. I am enough. And even if everything stays the same as it is right now in your life, I am enough. See, I think that's active faith. I think that holds on to the promises that God has made us. In Ephesians 4, where our text comes from, Paul writes this. He says to them, I want you to hold on until we all reach unity in the faith. Now, we're not seeing that at the moment, he's saying. But this is what I want you to do. This is the promise that you can hold on to. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus, and become mature. We're not there yet, but I want you to activate your faith to keep trusting that this will happen. And that is enough. Why is it enough? Because I am your shield, and I am your great reward. It's enough to know Jesus. Not just knowledge in our heads, of course. We looked at this last year, but knowledge in our experience of him. We grow that, and we become the person, the people that he imagines that we can be. No matter what we don't see happening yet, we can know Jesus, and we can grow in our knowledge of him, that if nothing else happens, that is how we activate faith. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Really? Truly? Can we, in a world where we constantly want so much more, where we always want the upgrade or the next thing, can we really say Christ is enough for me? Because that's active faith. Paul writes to the Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 to 13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I know the gap. I know the promises God's made me, but I also know the gap where it isn't true. I have learned the secret in those places of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Why? Because I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The gap can be filled because Christ is enough for me. He is my shield. I don't need to be afraid. He is my great reward. No matter what I don't see, I can know that that is true. Christ is enough for me. But what does Abraham do? Well, he probably does what you and I would do when we see the gap. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household is to be my heir. Abraham's first response is not worship, it's frustration. Do you know that? Have you been there? In that place of frustration when it doesn't seem that God is answering the prayer that you're asking him? But do you see in this moment, God is not offended by Abraham's honesty. He's not offended one bit in Abraham saying, God, this is how it is. He doesn't sanitize his prayer because that's what a good follower of Jesus should do. He doesn't pretend everything's fine. He names the gap between the promise and the reality he sees. And why can he do that? How can he do that? Because he's convinced that God is a promise-keeping God. He's not going to start doubting that God won't come through just because he can't see it happening at the moment. God said, do not be afraid. Okay, so I won't be afraid, if that's what you say, God. I'm your shield and your reward. And given that, you see, I think Abraham says, well, I can push back a little then, can't I? This isn't an out-of-control rant. This is the honesty of someone who truly believes God and longs to understand how the promise can be fulfilled when at the moment it still looks impossible. Active faith doesn't stop believing when it seems nothing is happening. Active faith engages in the frustration of it not happening, but still trusting the one who's told us it will. See, Abraham gets bogged down in this legal conundrum that he's facing of that particular culture. God has promised him an heir, but he hasn't got an heir yet. He remains childless. And so when Abraham dies, and it's like his funeral plan. This is his plan. Some of you have done one, haven't you? What's going to happen? You've made your will. You know, it's there in a box somewhere for somebody to pick up. Well, Abraham's thinking, well, then all this stuff that I've accumulated, and remember last week, he accumulated a lot of stuff along the way. Not only when he left Haran and he left after his dad died, but remember in Egypt when he pretended Sarah was his sister and he left Egypt with all sorts of things, including some camels apparently, and male and female donkeys. He had loads of stuff, and so he's thinking, what's going to happen to all this stuff? And so in that day, Sarah and Abraham would probably have adopted a son as their heir. And it seems like Eliezer of Damascus is the one that they've adopted. And so he says, look, I haven't got my own child, so everything is going to go to this other person, Eliezer of Damascus. But given the promise that God said, no, Abraham, you will have a son, it's a natural conundrum for him to be concerned about. It's a fair question to ask, and it's one that God answers. Faith doesn't mean certainty. It means continuing this conversation. It's like the disciples when they went out to fish, and I mentioned this at the church meeting on Tuesday. When Jesus said, look, come on, let's just go out. Let's go out and try again to catch some fish. And Peter says, well, we've tried all night, but because you say so, God, I'm going to do this. And this is like Abraham as well. Activated faith starts with truth, not tantrums, you see. We don't lose trust in God because we're not seeing it. We can speak the truth. This is how I'm feeling about this, God. This just doesn't make sense to me. How are you going to work this one out? I was reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember when he poured out his heart to the Father? What was it Jesus says? Abba, Father, everything is possible for you, but I don't see it happening in the way I'd prefer it to happen. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. There's a gap. I don't see you coming through, but I'm going to trust you in this. And what a beautiful start to Jesus' prayer. Abba, Father. The relationship is stronger than his prayer in that moment. Do not be afraid. I'm your shield and your reward. Abba, Father, I'm going to trust you for this. Active faith says to God, your will, your way. Starts with Abba Father, a reminder of this beautiful relationship that God, the Father, invites us to have with him as well as his children. And how in faith we relinquish control for the future back to the one who loves us unconditionally. Because he's a good, good Father. I hope and pray you know that. He's a good, good Father. For some of us, faith stops growing and stops being active, not because we stop believing, but because we stop being honest. God doesn't argue the facts with Abraham. The facts are the facts. He is childless. He is old, and so is his wife, Sarah. Instead, God changes the position from which Abraham is seeing things right now. Genesis 15, verse 4. He says to Abraham, this man, Eliezer, will not be your heir. Stop worrying about it. He's not going to be your heir, but a son who is your flesh and blood will be your heir. God fills that gap. And Abraham has nothing more to say. And faith is activated when we let God reframe our reality, when we let God reposition our response to him. Because what happens next? God took him, Abraham, outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars." He reframes Abraham's reality. He repositions Abraham's response in that moment. And what a beautiful moment this is. God invited him outside. Abraham had been living in his tent. All he could see was the top of the tent. His expectation of what God could do was limited to the top of the tent. And God takes him outside and says, "Look up at the sky and count the stars." The new perspective on what's possible with God. The limits are taken off. The possibilities become endless once again. Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you. I think that's Coldplay, is it? I don't know, but I think so. Look how they shine for you. Remember the one who's making this possible. Look at the stars. He made the stars. Look at the one who makes this possible. Remember the one who's making this promise. Don't forget it. I quoted this guy last week, Frederick Buechner. Now, he talks about how God makes promises to us often in the wilderness years of our lives, in the wilderness times, when everything is looking at its bleakest, when we're not sure what the future's going to hold. This is where God is at his best, during times of pain that we have, in grief and uncertainty. Because in those times, he describes coming to love God like being on with the weary feet of faith and the fragile wings of hope. That's where faith is activated at its best. When we are weak, then he is strong. The promise is fulfilled not through our own strength, but by trusting the one who gives us strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. See, God doesn't say, "This is how I'll fix it." God says, "Look again. I want you to look again, Abraham." Faith is activated when God enlarges our imagination. The stars weren't new. Abraham had seen the stars many, many times. He'd navigated with the stars on his journey into Bethel, into Egypt. And now Abraham sees the stars in a fresh way today. Look up at the stars. Count them. So shall your offspring be, your seed. Stretch your imagination so that you see God more clearly and you understand what God can truly do in your life. That will activate faith. Verse 6 says to us, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Faith is a decision to trust God's character, and when we do, our circumstances can change. When we let faith remain active, whatever happens, we continue to trust God's presence, his promises, and his power. God doesn't tell us how much faith we need. He just asks us to have faith. How much we have isn't really the issue for God. Do you remember when the followers of Jesus asked him, "Increase our faith. Increase our faith." It was a time when they couldn't bring the evil spirit out of the boy that a dad had brought to him. Well, Jesus just simply replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." See, active faith is not about our intensity, it's about our direction, where we're focusing it, where we're looking, who are we looking to in those moments. Abraham's faith was enough, and it put him right with God. And Abraham's faith was enough. It drove him on to follow God's plans and purposes again. Abraham's faith was enough, and it said, "I am available." A little bit later in the story, in Genesis chapter 17, we read this. When Abraham was 99 years old, time's moved on a bit now, and still he has no child. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Abraham, your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come for you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Years have passed, and yet the promise has remained. Promises delayed, bodies aging, hope tested. Sarah suggested a shortcut. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 16. But then God says to Abraham, I am God Almighty. I know you're 99 years old, but walk before me faithfully and be blameless. See, God introduces himself before he restates the promise. I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. I am enough. Just walk with me, Abraham. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. And then we have this most beautiful of covenants where God says, I am totally committed to you. And he changes his name to be the father of many. See, God names him according to the promise, not the present, according to the promise, the father of many. See, before the evidence appears, active faith lives because God's word is true. Before it appears, active faith lives as if God's word is true, because it is. I am Abraham, the father of many. Even if I don't have a child right now, I am still Abraham. I am the father of many. God gives him a name because of what is going to happen next, the potential that is going to be in and through his life. Through Abraham, God is redeeming the whole world. It hasn't looked great so far, but this is God's covenant commitment to save the world through a family. A family that would see many kings, that would lead to the greatest king of all, the King of Kings himself, Jesus. Before a son is born, before a land is given, it starts with a person, a name, a promise, and a blessing. God's covenant upheld by his faithfulness, not by human perfection. And so God invites us to, like Abraham, to recognize the signs of his grace in our everyday life, and to live in obedience to his unconditional love, promised through Jesus, sealed with his blood. And his covenant says to you today, I will be to you as I should be, whether or not you are as you should be to me. I will be to you, God says, as I should be, whether or not you are as you should be to me. That's unconditional grace that is spoken into your life and my life today. Active faith keeps walking. Active faith keeps waiting. Active faith keeps trusting the promise through every generation. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he burst out of the tomb, it was a reminder of God's unconditional love for all those who will keep trusting in him. God is not going to give up on a promise he's made to you. He is not going to give up on that. And so you too can respond in faith and just continue to walk with him and be blameless in your response to him. Perhaps today, do you remember the father whose son was healed, who cried out to Jesus in that moment, I do believe, but help my unbelief. And maybe today, our faith gets activated when we come to trust the one who is the promise keeper. So how will you activate your faith? What do you want to say to God? Is there a gap between the promise and the reality at the moment in your life? What do you want to say to him today? It's okay, you can say it. You can say it. Don't edit your prayers to be just the words you think he wants to hear. He can handle your disappointment. He's okay with that. But just keep trusting him. Keep believing in him. I wonder if you today need to let God take you out of your tent, where your perspective is a bit limited, where you're still in control, really, and haven't given him control of a situation. Whether you just need to come out of that tent as he invites you and just look at the stars and look how they shine for you today. Because they're shining for you today. Because there is promise to you today. Or maybe the question is, will you walk with God before you see his promises fulfilled? And will you continue to walk? Because faith matures through obedience, even in uncertainty, especially in uncertainty. So wherever you're waiting today, would you take the next step? Would you activate your faith? Would you look up and keep walking and trust the promise-keeping God who keeps his covenant love and his covenant promise to you today and every day to come? We're going to sing a song that is a response to his covenant promise. When I fear my faith is weak, he will hold me fast. I invite you to stand. I'm going to pray and then we'll sing together. Father God, we want to thank you for the promises you've given to us. I pray that you will embed them again in our lives as we offer you our praise and our worship. Holy Spirit, would you activate faith in each of us today? Would you reignite it and continue to help it to grow? In the name of Jesus, amen.